We're so thankful for our visitors for being here and the fact that you've chosen to take time out of your schedule and to be with us. We're thankful for your presence. And as you all know, Steve is away in South Africa preaching over there with the brethren there. And so they have to find fill-ins to substitute, take his place while he's away. And they always find good ones, but this morning you're stuck with me. So in spite of that, I'm thankful for your presence this morning as well. This morning, I want to talk about something that, or someone that I feel like most of us, not all of us, can relate to in some aspect of our lives at some point in our lives. And so I want to talk to you about Peter. And really, I think Peter's story is very inspiring to us and for us in our lives as Christians. I think it can be. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So what is it about Peter's story, about his life, that makes it attractive to us, that makes it appealing to us? And I think there's different aspects, different things that Peter went through or did or said that maybe find it easily relatable for us, to us. Perhaps maybe like Peter, we've been bold to confess Jesus in our lives. You know, Peter had a lot of courage. He was bold at times. And maybe just like Peter, we've been very bold in that same way and have been easily, you know, openly proclaimed Jesus in our lives. Possibly like Peter, we've spoken out of ignorance at times, maybe out of fear when teaching others God's word. And Peter did that same thing, and we'll look at that in just a moment. Maybe like Peter, we've acted hypocritically at times. We've been a hypocrite. We've put on a show, a face that we're good people, good Christians, and truly we've acted in ways that aren't pleasing to God. Perhaps like Peter, maybe we've had a good close relationship with God and with Jesus. See, Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples, and we'll look at that. And maybe in our lives, we've had that same close, tight-knit relationship with God. So maybe we relate to Peter in that way. Maybe perhaps like Peter, there's been times where we've denied Jesus and deserted him. We've fallen away. Or maybe like Peter, we've left our secular job or full-time job and pursued full-time ministry. Or, you know, we've spent some time in ministry. Perhaps we relate to Peter in that way. Maybe there's two or three of these aspects in Peter's lives that maybe we relate to in some way. Some good, others not so good. But what I want to do is look at Peter, his life, his story, his example, and what it is that we can learn from Peter. Because Peter, though he went through a lot of rough patches in his life, I think it's the ending of Peter's life that really makes it appealing and attractive to us. You know, people generally, I think, like a good comeback story. You know, you hear about comebacks a lot in sports. I like sports a lot. And so when you hear about a good comeback story, you hear about, you know, I really enjoy those types of stories. One that maybe, you know, we can think of something that someone that made a comeback, I would say, this year was Tiger Woods. All right. So for those of you who don't know who Tiger Woods, he's a professional golf player and has been a very good one for some time. Tiger Woods started his career in the 1990s, and he did very well in his early years. He won four majors within the year 1997 to 2005. Now that's a really big accomplishment, and if you don't know what the Masters is one of the biggest, the most prestigious golf tournaments that there is in professional golf, and Tiger Woods achieved this and won the Masters four times in these 8 years. In 2008, he won the U.S. Open, which is another pretty big tournament for professional golfers, and so that's pretty big. Those are pretty big accomplishments. Now after 2008, Tiger Woods, he hit a pretty rough patch in his life. It came out he was involved in a scandal. Came out that he had been unfaithful to his spouse for on several occasions. And I remember after that, Tiger Woods, he came out and publicly made an apology. I remember watching that, and seemed to be genuine. But he came out, made that apology, confession of what he had done. And following that also, he seemed to have a lot of issues with his back. He went through back surgeries and just had a lot of trouble with his back, had back problems, and that really limited his playing time. Really, you know, a lot of people started maybe thinking perhaps his career is over and, you know, maybe not the type of player that he once was. Well, then, after all of that, this year in April, the Masters was played once again like it always is, and Tiger Woods came out on top and won the Masters tournament 2019. So Tiger Woods had gone about 11 or 12 years since he had won any type of major. It had been 14 years since the last time he had won the Masters tournament. And in spite of everything he went through, the scandal, his back issues, Tiger Woods, he stayed strong. He kept with it and once again came out on top. You know, I'm not really big into golf, but when I heard that and when I looked at all those facts, that's a pretty big, pretty, you know, good achievement for someone, what I would call a comeback story, you know, and so it's nice when you hear of something like that. Well, really, I think Peter's story can maybe in some way correlate to all of that. I think Peter, in a sense, is a good comeback story that we can look at and perhaps relate to. And so that's what I want to do this morning. Maybe we relate to Peter and his call to discipleship. So there, if you turn to Luke chapter 5, we look at Peter and some of the other disciples. They have been fishing all night, have caught nothing. Jesus comes to them and he tells Peter, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." See, Peter had been out doing what he did for his job, fishing. They had caught nothing. Jesus comes to them and says, "Let down your nets." And Peter, you know, being like he was, we've already done that, but at your word, I'll do it. And they caught so many fish that the nets start to break and they need help to bring them in. But Peter's response to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Jesus was calling Peter. And in verse 11, "So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." You see, Peter, he says, "Jesus, depart from me. Get away from me. I'm a sinful man. I have nothing to do with you because of my sins." Maybe we relate to Peter in that we felt like that. That there was a time in our lives where we felt so far away from God. We felt like we couldn't have this relationship with Jesus. But Jesus has called us. God has called us. And through Jesus, we can have a close relationship with God. And Peter, knowing that he needed the help, knowing that the only way to find help was through Jesus, he forsakes all and began to follow Jesus. Maybe we relate to Peter in that way, that we have a calling as well. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." As children of God, we have a calling that's been made to us. And many of us maybe have answered that. And we're walking worthy. And we relate to Peter that although we know that we're sinful people and that we don't deserve a relationship with God. He's offered us one, and we've chosen to answer that call, and we've pursued that and have followed Him. Maybe we relate to Peter in that way. Maybe we relate to Peter in that there's been times where we've spoken out of fear, out of ignorance, have said things that aren't appropriate, whether it's when trying to teach someone the gospel, or maybe just, you know, when we've said things. Peter did that on occasions. Go with me to Mark chapter 9. Looking at verses 5 through 7 there. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." You see, Jesus took three of his disciples up to a great mountain, and there he was transfigured before them in this glorious state. And Peter's there with Jesus when he's transformed, and Moses and Elijah appear, and Peter, not really knowing what to do, what to say because of fear, "Hey, let's make three tabernacles, one for each, and let's sacrifice and worship each of you." You see, Peter, who's standing in front of you? Jesus in his most glorious state. And you're trying to put Moses and Elijah maybe on an equal playing field, if you will, with Jesus. The Father speaks out from the clouds and says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Peter, soon there's going to come a time where you're no longer going to abide by the Old Testament covenant, by the law, by the prophets. Now is the time to listen to my Son. And Peter, being fearful, says these things. Also over in Mark chapter 8, Jesus speaking with his disciples here, Mark 8, 31 through 33. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter saying, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" Jesus is telling them what's going to occur in the future, and the fact that he's going to be rejected, that he's going to be killed, and then be resurrected again. And Peter stops Jesus and begins to rebuke him for what he's saying. Jesus tells Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." See, Peter didn't know what he was talking about. And you know, we criticize Peter a lot because a lot of times he would speak without thinking about what he would say. And maybe, you know, on occasions, rightly so. And here, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." On another occasion in Mark chapter 14, and we'll look at this reference in a little bit, but Mark chapter 14, verses 27 through 31, Jesus is telling his disciples, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' And Peter said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be.'" Jesus would go on and tell him how that would occur. And then after that, Peter speaks. He spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. See, Peter was so sure of himself that he was not going to let Jesus down, that he was not going to desert him. And he speaks, doesn't think about who it is that's telling him what's going to happen, what's going to occur, and maybe his arrogance, his pride. "No, that's not going to be me." Maybe there's been times when we've acted like Peter in that way. We've spoken things, we've said things out of ignorance, maybe out of fear, things that aren't appropriate. Maybe our pride, our ego got in the way. And maybe that's how we relate to Peter. Maybe like Peter, we've showed lack of faith at times. Over in Matthew chapter 14, We have this occasion where Jesus is walking on the sea, on the water, at night. Matthew chapter 14, picking up in verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he had saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter, seeing Jesus on the water, wanting to make sure it's him, "Lord, if that's you, command that I come to you, walk on this water." Jesus tells him to come. Peter begins to walk on the water, showing this great sign. But then the wind begins to pick up, becomes boisterous, and he begins to drown, begins to sink. "Lord, help me, save me." Jesus takes him. "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Has that been us at times in our lives where we've had this relationship with God and we're doing, we're striving to please Him, to walk with Him, and then all of a sudden trials come, tribulations, we have problems, and we begin to lose faith. We lack in our faith that God can protect us, can take care of us like He promises. And like Peter, we begin to sink. Maybe we begin to our faith begins to diminish. We start falling away. Maybe we relate to Peter like that. But Peter, knowing that Jesus could help him, he calls out for Jesus. And Jesus takes him by the hand. Maybe we see ourselves in Peter's example in that way. There's been times where we've lost our faith in God. Or maybe we've seen God provide for us and protect us, take care of us during those difficult times, and we've made it through. And that's helped to build up our faith. Surely this was an occasion that helped to build Peter's faith after this. Maybe like Peter, we've been hypocrites at times in our lives. Over in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." You see, you think about who Peter was. Peter was a great man of God. Peter had been one of the closest disciples that Jesus had. Peter was a pillar for the early church. But on this occasion, Peter stumbled. He made a mistake, acted like a hypocrite. He would associate with the Gentiles, but then when the Jews would come, he withdrew himself, had nothing to do with them. That's called being a hypocrite. And thankfully, Paul rebukes him, calls him out, and corrects him. But maybe we relate to Peter in that way. Maybe for many years, we've acted like good people. We've acted like good Christians. We put on a show that we're holy, we're saints, when in reality, we're not. Maybe you see yourself in Peter's life from what we see here. Well, you see, Peter, he didn't stay there. Peter was corrected and he changed. And that's where I want to go with this, is that if we're like Peter, if we're willing to receive correction, that we can change. We can be molded to become valuable. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. Not only was Peter affected, but others were drawn away with Peter's actions. And maybe we've been a bad influence for others out in the world, at our jobs, at school. Maybe in some way we've influenced people negatively. But we can change. But we have to be willing to repent. And we'll talk about that some more in just a moment. Perhaps like Peter, we've had the boldness. We've been ready to confess Jesus Christ as King of our lives. Peter did that on many occasions. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 16. Looking at verses 13 through 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see, Peter was bold. He wasn't going along with what others had to say about who Jesus was. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't Elijah or Jeremiah, John the Baptist. No, you are the Son. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Again, over in John chapter 6, in verses 66 through 69, another great confession from Peter, John chapter 6, starting in verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" See, when others weren't willing to receive Jesus, when others were leaving Jesus, Peter makes this great confession with boldness. Who else can we go to? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a great confession from Peter. When others weren't willing to stand up to confess that, Peter was. And maybe you see that, you see yourself in that. That you've had the boldness to stand up and speak out your mind about Jesus Christ and how He's the owner of your life. Peter did this on this occasion. Also, over in Acts chapter 4, we see another instance there. Peter and John, they've been arrested. Now they're being brought on trial by the council here. And Peter speaks out again here, filled by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That took a lot of courage for Peter to say to these men who denied the resurrection, to these men who rejected the Christ, these men who killed the Christ. That took a lot of courage, boldness for Peter to stand up and to say these things. In Acts chapter 5, you have again later, "Did we not strictly command you," in verse 28 and 29, "you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Peter wasn't afraid of what other people had to say. He wasn't afraid of what might happen to him for making such a great confession. Perhaps in times you've stood up for the cause of Christ and have made confessions similar to these. If that's you, that's great. Keep doing that. It takes a lot of courage. Perhaps like Peter, maybe you've had this close relationship with Jesus. Maybe you have been obedient and have been good, have been trying to do what's right in your life. Over in Mark chapter 5, we see on three occasions here where Jesus takes three disciples with him, being Peter, James, and John. He took them to see things that he didn't allow others to go and see, not even some of his other disciples, the main disciples. But for some reason, he allows Peter to be one of these select men who he felt close to. He felt a close bond with. And he takes Peter to allow him to see several things. Over in Mark chapter 5, as Jesus is going to the house of Jairus, and they brought news that his daughter has passed away, and Jesus, there's this big multitude following him. Jesus, you know, tells the multitude, commands them to stop, to leave, that they can't follow him anymore. And he just takes Peter, James, and John with him to see his great miracle, raising the daughter of Jairus. Also in Mark chapter 9, we talked about that just a moment ago, where Jesus goes and on this mountain, he's transfigured before three of his disciples, and Peter was right there with them. Over in Mark chapter 14, when Jesus goes to Gethsemane, as he's going to pray to the Father, as he's getting close to being arrested, being crucified, he takes three men with him again. Once again, Peter is one of them. So I think we can easily say that Peter and Jesus had a close relationship, were friends. Jesus felt some type of close bond to Peter, probably because of the man that Peter was and the good heart that he had. And maybe in your life, maybe you have this really good, this close relationship with God, with Jesus, because you're living obediently, because your heart is in the right place. Perhaps you relate to Peter in this way. And once again, if that describes you, that's great. Keep going in that direction. Hopefully, we can all say that we relate to Peter in this way. But maybe we relate to Peter in that he had some pretty big failures. And we're going to see those. Go with me to Mark chapter 14. But we're going to see the actions that Peter takes and his confessions and the restoration, his restoration. Over in Mark chapter 14, I referenced this passage earlier, starting in verse 27. And Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Peter was so sure. "No, Lord, even if everyone else deserts you, even if everyone leaves you, not me. I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to leave you. During your greatest time of need, that's not..." Peter, with him again, tells him to sit here, to pray, lest you fall into temptation. In verse 37 and 38 of Mark 14, then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, once again, Peter is called out, signaled out here, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus had just told Peter what was going to happen. And Peter, because of his pride, because of his arrogance, he didn't heed those words. And Jesus takes him and says, Peter, you need to be praying lest you fall into temptation. You need to be praying because, yes, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you may stumble. And Jesus tells him, and he comes and he finds him sleeping. Simon, could you not pray? Could you not watch 1 hour? Are you sleeping? Maybe we look at that and we see ourselves. We see ourselves. We know that God, He warns us that we need to be in prayer constantly because the devil is out. He's looking, trying to tempt us, to cause us to stumble. And like they say, the old saying, you know, I'd rather be fishing. Well, I'd rather be sleeping than praying. Is that you? I know that's been me at times in my life. Or I should have been praying. Or I should have been seeking a close relationship with the Father. But instead, I'm sleeping. I'm not diligent in my daily prayer, in my daily reading. I'm not diligent in my service for others, for God. Maybe that's you. That was Peter here. And not only that, and then in verse 50 of Mark 14, once again, then they all forsook him and fled. What Peter had said he would not do, Jesus foretold it, and sure enough, it happened. And then later, skipping down to verse 66, now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And when he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. And he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man or whom you speak. A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And when he had thought about it, he wept. What Jesus told Peter would happen occurred. Peter would go on, deny that he knew Jesus 3 times. And he made sure that those who were accusing him of being with Jesus, he made sure that they were wrong, that they were mistaken. He begins to swear, to curse that he didn't know the man. You look at that and you think, how sad. What a terrible mistake Peter has made. And you look at Peter's response previous to that, being prideful that that would not be him. But now you see Peter maybe digging a big hole. And maybe you felt like that. Maybe you felt like there's been times in your life, or maybe you feel like that right now, where you've done things that you don't think you can be forgiven. Maybe you've done things and you've wondered, how can God help someone like me? How can I be saved? Maybe you're in a state of mind where you feel hopeless. I don't know, you know, how Peter was feeling exactly, but we're told that he wept. And I'm sure that had to be a very, very sad, bad feeling for Peter. But what is it that makes Peter's story inspiring? What is it that makes it appealing and attractive to us? It's that Peter didn't stay there. Peter didn't stay in this hole that he had dug for himself. Peter changed. He repented. Go with me to John chapter 21. We have the restoration of Peter. One of the most beautiful passages, I think, when you've seen a great man of God like Peter fall to the lowest depth. And then we see what occurs here in John chapter 21, picking it up in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said again to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Just like Peter had denied Jesus on these three occasions, now Peter was ready to make a change, was ready to repent of the mistakes that he had made, and confesses Jesus, confesses his love for Jesus. And Jesus says, "Good, I can work with that. You can be valuable to my kingdom, to my service once again." And Peter would go on and follow Jesus, become one of the pillars of the church, become one of the great apostles that we can look to, look at his example, and take courage from it, be encouraged by it, see hope in our own lives. Because, see, Peter didn't stay where he was at. Peter changed. He repented. And Jesus used him to be very valuable in his service. Maybe you felt, or you feel like, of what value can I be to God, knowing what I've done in the past, knowing how far I've fallen? God tells us, don't stay there. I can make you valuable. I can use you if you're willing to repent and to be molded. And that's exactly what Peter would go on to do. What's going to be our response to this morning's example that we've seen in Peter? As we go to wind down the lesson here, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verses 13 through 15. 2 Peter chapter 3. Listen to what Peter has to say in his letter here, starting in verse 13 of chapter 3. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." See, Peter, because he changed, after he had been restored and confessed his love, he's looking for this promise of new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And in spite of all the wrong things, the failures that Peter had in his life, he could take courage and he could look forward to living, to being in a place where righteousness dwells. And he counted himself to be righteous. And not only that, but he says, look forward to these things and be diligent to be found by him in peace. Peter found his peace in Christ, and so can we. That's where his peace was. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. If you're here this morning, God's given you time. God's giving you another opportunity where you can let go of your past. You can repent, change, and yet still be valuable to God and his kingdom and to others. What's going to be your answer to to the call this morning? Are you going to stay where you've been for the past? Or are you going to move forward, repent, change, make things right? We can have that peace in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. I hope that this lesson in some way has been of benefit to some of us, to us. Hope that we'll take something positive from this and that we can use it to help us. I want to finish up by reading Psalm chapter 51. So what I'm going to ask you all to do, to go ahead and stand. And you can turn your Bibles, you can just listen. But I want to read Psalm chapter 51. It's a Psalm of David, after David had sinned, committed adultery with Bathsheba. Following the reading of Psalm chapter 51, we'll ask Wes to come forward and to lead our invitation song. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise.